is Kelman on Cliff Central.
All right, Jonathan Sinclair standing in for Aria Kelman as he heads off to Europe. Now we're joined via Skype by Deshni Subramani. Deshni, are you there?
Hi.
Hello. That's your part to say hello.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. Was this? Okay. No.
That's how we greet one another around here, Deshni. Don't you know? All right, Deshni, let's get straight into it. So much is happening in our world and all of these things going on at universities around South Africa. What have you been seeing in your line of work?
Sure. So yesterday there was a big eruption of violence, as people are calling it, around at the University of Free State and at the University of Pretoria. So what happened was that yesterday there was a rugby match happening, and I don't know if you've seen anything on Twitter as yet, but there was a rugby match happening, and during the break of the rugby match, protesting students went onto the field and they started protesting, singing songs.
Okay.
And after doing this, there were some people who came from the bleachers who were watching the rugby match, who ran onto the field and started beating up the students.
Sure.
The students were all black on the field, and the people who came to beat them up were all white. And so it became a really big, thing about how the university and its racism policies, or, you know, the underlying policies that are not official, still exist in the university. And Jonathan Jansen, the vice chancellor of the university, has come under fire yet again over his non-racialist policies. So I don't know if you remember, a while ago, University of Free State had an incident where students had told black workers to drink
urine.
Do you remember that?
It was a terrible story. Really terrible. Yeah.
So, I mean, there's been a lot of racial tension around this university for a while. It's just from the Free State, which is one of them. Remember, it used to be called the Orange Free State, which is what used to be one of the Dutch strongholds, or should I say Afrikaner strongholds of South Africa and in during apartheid and before that.
Mm-hmm.
So this university is historically known to have problematic ideas and problematic ways of dealing with things. And Jonathan Jansen doesn't help it at all, because he basically tells people just to turn the other cheek and to forgive, as he did with the peeing incident. And if you heard anything of what he said today, he finally came out from under a rock to give a statement about what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that, you know, he will deal with both the students who were protesting and the people who were attacking them. And, I mean, the students were there during halftime. They weren't doing anything illegal. And if you look on Facebook, there is, I don't know if you follow the Daily Vox, but I keep punting them every time I'm on this show. But the Daily Vox has done a really good piece on what actually happened at the university. So they spoke to a student who was there at the time and who said that she was close to police when she was listening to all of this happen. And she said that she could hear police talking about how they were going to shoot the protesters with shotguns. So this is with rubber bullets.
Jeez, like, that's so crazy. So they planned this ahead of time. And like you say, the black students, at least, who were protesting during halftime, I suppose, had every right to do that. Now, these players that attacked them, who were the white people, quote unquote, were they rugby players? Were they spectators?
They were spectators. They were all spectators. So everyone watching the match, on the field. And so as they started running onto the field, I mean, the video is everywhere in social media. It's been on ENCA Times Live. All the major news outlets have put it up already. But you can see the process of the violence unfolding. There were people on the field, and then white people came onto the field, and then punches were thrown. People were throwing people onto the floor. They were kicking students. They were throwing rocks at children. It was quite violent and quite scary to see what was happening there. And I mean, this has been a huge thing. People have been really, really upset on social media about what happened. And I think they're more upset now with what Jonathan Jansen said about it.
Well, I'm glad that he's finally come out and said something, although what he has said has obviously really pissed people off. I saw just before I started the show that Jansen started trending on Twitter, so I was wondering about that. But I think these images that people are seeing on social media really does take us back to apartheid, of the white man beating up the black man, you know, especially the first time you see blood and stuff. I also saw other posts of, like, two white guys helping a black person get up, and then people were saying, oh, how can you say the white people are racist? Look at these two. And I feel like that is not constructive. Just because, you know, two of these white people helped one black person doesn't take away from the fact that these white spectators were harming these people that were protesting. There's no space for this in 2016. But I mean, this only isn't in the Free State. You also mentioned the University of Pretoria. What is the situation looking like there, Deshni?
Well, there hasn't been any violence at the University of Pretoria as yet, recently, should I say. Mm-hmm. But what did happen there is that people have been protesting the use of Afrikaans as the medium of instruction at the university. Mm-hmm. Now, in Pretoria, it's a Afrikaans stronghold.
For sure.
Most people who live there speak Afrikaans. Most white people who live there speak Afrikaans. There are also colored people who speak Afrikaans, you know, black people who do. And so the university students are protesting the use of Afrikaans as a medium to teach. And what's happening now is Afrikaans students are now saying that actually they don't want that language to be taken off as a medium of instruction because they want their children to learn Afrikaans as a language.
Yeah.
The thing is that if you want your children to learn Afrikaans as a language, then you teach it to them. It's got nothing to do with whether the university uses it as a medium of instruction or not. And I think it's really important that people understand that there's a difference between using a tertiary institution to maintain heritage or whatever you think it should be doing, and it's actually a tertiary institution that is meant to serve almost everybody. So forcing people to learn Afrikaans to be able to learn at the University of Pretoria is a problem. That's an unconstitutional way of doing things because you're basically telling people they can only learn if they learn in your way.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a misconception though, especially from Afrikaans people, that black people want to get rid of Afrikaans altogether. Is that not the case? They are just saying we don't want it as the language of instruction. So obviously, are they calling for English to therefore be the language of instruction at the University of Pretoria?
That's right. So it's basically, you know, what happened in 76 all over again, where people were saying we can't have Afrikaans as the medium of instruction at schools. They are saying they don't want Afrikaans as the medium of instruction at the University of Pretoria. They're not saying they don't want Afrikaans at all. And exactly, they can never stop people from speaking Afrikaans. It's impossible. And so the reaction by students have been, you know, people putting up boards saying Afrikaans is here or whatever. I don't know how to read it.
There's a whole organization, I think it's called Afrikaans Sal Blay, who are also fighting this.
Yes.
But now, Deshni, don't you see a bit of irony there that these, let's say what it is, maybe black students who are saying we want to be taught in English, but English itself is not their mother tongue. Shouldn't they be fighting to be taught in their mother tongue as opposed to English, which is not their mother tongue?
Well, I mean, this is the thing about South Africa, you know, black people as a whole, you know, and you know that I have my definition of black people comes from the Big West understanding of it. And black people know that there are many different languages, but that is the medium of, that is the language that is most used in this country and internationally. Mm-hmm. Afrikaans isn't. And so, using English is not choosing one set of white people over the other. And I think a lot of Afrikaans commentators have said they don't want to give it up because of, you know, confrontation Afrikaans people had with white people pre-apartheid. So this is not about choosing one group of white people over the other or one set of whiteness rules over the other. It's about finding the best possible solution for everybody to learn. And I don't think that that's, I mean, and you're right, it is ironic that they would ask for Afrikaans. So we should actually be thankful that they're not, white students should be thankful they're not asking for, you know,
an African language,
An African language to be the medium of instruction, which they are totally entitled to.
You know, I think everyone gets very offended and they feel like their heritage is under attack. And maybe it's because the University of Pretoria has taught in Afrikaans for so many years that the thought of changing that makes you feel like you're giving up a part of yourself, makes you feel like you're selling out your heritage, which isn't the case. Maybe this is just progress in a democratic country. But I do feel like the way that it's rolling out and this violence is so unnecessary. And it really is just pinning two groups of people against each other who are actually probably working towards a common cause at the end of the day.
Well, the thing is that I think people who feel attacked need to just stop for 5 minutes and listen to other people. Just listen. Nobody's saying make any decisions or do anything beyond that. Just listen and stop reacting emotionally. And perhaps then we'll be able to find a way to get people to start speaking to each other properly. At this moment in time, you've got people who don't think they feel they don't owe it to black people to listen to what they have to say. And I think that that's a problem. So people really need to calm down and just listen to things instead of making assumptions and rushing to social media and making grand statements that actually they don't know anything about because they're not there. We're not there. We don't know what's happening. We need to leave the students to sort this out themselves and let them come to terms with it. We can support them. but we cannot decide for them how this goes down.
All right, Deshni, we're going to have to wait and see how it pans out. I just really hope this violence does stop. And like you say, that people listen. But I think oftentimes, especially in South Africa, the only way you get people to listen is when you break things, you destroy things, you burn things, you harm people. Then people stand up and take notice and say, hang on, maybe these people have a point. So I really wish it didn't have to come to that. And we could just sit around a table and have a discussion. But I suppose that's the perfect world that I live in my head.
Yep, exactly. Sometimes you just need to take drastic measures to break the status quo, and that needs to be done.
All right, Deshni, thank you so much for catching us up. How do we keep up with you?
You'll find me on @DeshRoom on Twitter, and yeah, you can just talk to me there.
All right, Deshni, thank you so much. We'll chat to you again next week, and hopefully this whole situation will have calmed down and we'll be working towards a better solution.
Mm-hmm.
All right, cheers, Deshni. Speak to you soon.
All right.
Bye.
This is Kelman on Cliff Central.